listening to the Apollo Podcast Network. One.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Launchpad Podcast presented by Apollo Media, all Houston, all original, your source for all things Houston Rockets. I am your host, LaShar Binkley. I am the director of basketball operations for Old Time Heroics. I am a contributor for Space City Scoop. And of course, I am a podcast host for the Launchpad Podcast. Today, we're doing a little bit different. It's a solo podcast where I won't have any guests. It's just me talking about the Rockets. Hopefully, I won't bore anybody too much. But seriously, thank you for joining me. And on today's show, since we are getting into the offseason for the Rockets as the rest of the NBA, at least the other 16 teams, are actually starting the playoffs today, the Rockets are focusing, of course, on the draft that actually happens in 1 month. June 22nd is when the lottery draft Rockets find out exactly where they will be drafting. And at that time, we will know if the Rockets land a top four pick, pretty much who they'll be drafting, because I think the top two people are locked in. But we'll talk about that more later on. But in this first segment, we're actually going to go over the press conference that was held a few days ago, end of the year press conference with Rafael Stone and Stephen Silas. They talked to the media, answered some questions. We're going to go over some of that in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about the other part of the offseason for the Rockets, which is free agency. If the Rockets wouldn't be that much involved in free agency, who will they go after? That's all still kind of up in the air, but we will actually talk about some of the free agents that are actually available out there that the Rockets may target. And in the final segment, we're going to actually kind of go over some of the more hotter topics that's on specifically Rockets Twitter. For example, Christian Wood on whether he should be on the trading block at some point this offseason, or some of the other things that's being, you know, discussed and going back and forth, whether John Wall should be traded and how much would you give up to, you know, move on from John Wall. We're going to discuss that in the final segment. But first, we're going to start off with, as I mentioned before, the press conference that just happened recently. And in the first clip I'm going to play, there actually someone asked Rafael Stone, you know, about this offseason and some of the Rockets' plans. And Rafael Stone has some interesting comments about that.
Strategy of just of intentionally trying to be bad for 5 to 10 years or whatever it takes. We're not trying to do that. I think that's the biggest difference. We're trying to compete. We're going to be young. We're not trying to like press it immediately, which I think has also been good. I think the teams that do that sometimes make quick mistakes because by bringing a free agent, pay them a lot of money that isn't kind of quite the guy just because that's the guy that's available in that year. We're going to try and avoid those types of mistakes. Like, we're not going to be perfect. Not every transaction is going to work out, whether because of fit or injury or whatever else, but we're going to do the best we can. We're going to try and put a competitive product on the court quicker. And we're not worried that we need our draft pick to be as bad as possible or as low as possible in any given year, because we do have some other picks that we expect will come to us in the future.
So as you hear there, Rafael Stone is talking about how they're not going to just bring in players just to bring in players. And this has kind of been a topic back and forth all year, not just on Rockets Twitter, but just throughout the NBA, as far as when the Rockets first traded away James Harden, and they actually got Victor Oladipo back in the trade, which, you know, at this time, of course, it doesn't look like the greatest trade in the world, because Victor Oladipo really didn't do much for the Rockets. And at the time, a lot of people didn't think the return for Victor Oladipo actually was good in itself, that trade, which we all found out that Kelly Olynyk was definitely the best part of the trade. But the reason why I wanted to play this, because it kind of leads into one of the first things I want to talk about, and a lot of people were saying, why didn't the Rockets take Caris LeVert? Why didn't the Rockets keep Jared Allen? Players like that. And I think if you look at it, the reason why the Rockets didn't want to keep those players, even though they're good players, but they're not good enough to make you a contending team. So if they're not good enough to make you a contending team, why bring them in and then they put your team in basically purgatory? the way the Rockets were in the Kyle Lowry days when he was here with the Rockets, and Rockets were good, but not good enough to make the playoffs, but not bad enough to be a lottery team. And that's kind of where a Caris LeVert or Jared Allen would have had them. They would have been right basically in the middle. So if you're going to be bad, you might as well be bad to the point where you have a chance to get a generational talent like a Cade Cunningham or a really, really good player as in an Evan Mobley. So I think that that clip should let everybody know this is why we didn't want to bring in a Jared Allen, who, by the way, reports just came out saying that he's going to want somewhere north of $100 million for his next big contract. So there's no way the Rockets wanted to pay that. Jared Allen's a good player, but he's not a superstar or even a star player at this point. And Caris LeVert is a good player, but he's not a superstar or a star player. He's just a really good player. So there's really no reason to tie up $50, $60, $100 million for the next several years on players that are not going to make you a contending team. So that's the position the Rockets are taking. And that's why Stone in that clip says, we, you know, we're not just going to bring players in here just to bring them in here. You know, we're going to bring in players that we want to develop and that can kind of grow together. And that's the reason why they didn't, you know, keep Caris LeVert or keep Jared Allen. So I think that's something people need to realize when they talk about that. Another thing I found really interesting about the press conference was they did bring up the fact that John, when he was mentioning players that are going to be here a long time, he said John Wall, he said Eric Gordon. And I know some people were like, why in the world would he say John Wall, Eric Gordon? I mean, a couple of reasons. First off, maybe they're really serious about keeping those players and not actually trading either one of them. But it could also be that why would you bring down their trade value by saying, well, we don't want them here anymore. We're just going to get rid of them. That brings down the trade value. So there's no way a GM or a coach is ever going to really say, hey, we just want to move on from these guys. We're ready to trade them. Everybody's sending a trade request in. You know, that's how it works. So I think it's probably more of that than, well, we're going to keep them. And I think in John Wall's case, they probably won't have much of a choice just because of the way his contract is structured. He's owed $91 million over the next couple of years. I don't know a lot of teams that's going to be willing to pay $91 million over the next couple of years for John Wall. I think it's going to be more of a, they're going to ride it out this season. And then next year, that's when they'll have more leverage in trading him because he'll be on an expiring contract. Eric Gordon, on the other hand, is a player that I think that more than likely will be moved this offseason just because he's a really good player still. He actually had one of his better years this last past year before he got hurt. And a lot of playoff teams are going to be willing to pay his salary, which is around $17, $18 million a year, to bring in a player that can possibly help them in the playoffs. I think their teams are more willing to trade for Eric Gordon, and you won't even have to give up any actual draft capital to move on from Eric Gordon. You're really trying to move Eric Gordon to open up more money under your salary cap. And let's just say that they move on from Kelly Olynyk, or Kelly Olynyk asks for too much money in the offseason. Then guess what? You have almost close to $30 million in cap space that you can try to bring in a max player or a couple of good, really good players to add up to your young core. So that's just something to keep in mind when you're thinking about trading Eric Gordon. It's really not about bringing in another player. It's really about opening up that cap space. So I think that's what the Rock's going to be looking for in an Eric Gordon trade. The only player I can see possibly or team possibly taking on John Wall's contract is the New York Knicks, just because they are actually good enough to make the playoffs now. And, you know, Tom Thibodeau loves veteran point guards, and John Wall definitely fits that bill. And they're one of the only few teams that actually may even have the cap space, because it's not like a lot of teams are going to have cap space this upcoming year. They're one of the few teams that are actually going to have the cap space. And it also kind of depends on what they're going to do with John Randle, because, you know, Julius Randle, because he's going to also be a free agent. They're going to have to decide whether, because more than likely he's going to be looking for a max contract as well. So that's kind of all up in the air. So the way you look at it, it's probably going to be John Wall's going to be back with the team. And then they're going to just have to figure out from there, because let's say they get a Cade Cunningham, let's say they get a Green or a Suggs, then you're going to have three point guards that you're going to have to try to figure out how you're going to mix the time, who's going to come off the bench, who's going to play, because you're not going to start all three of them. Because even though Kevin Porter Jr. was a small forward coming into the league, he fits more with a shooting guard, and there's no way you're going to try to stick him at small forward when you had him playing point guard in the G League for a specific reason, because you wanted him to develop those point guard skills. So that's going to be a whole nother interesting topic on who do you start? Who do you bench? Do you bench a player making $40+ million a year? That's a veteran that's not probably going to like coming off the bench. Or do you bench Kevin Porter Jr. and have him as your sixth man? That's going to be definitely something interesting to keep in mind this coming off season. Of course, if you get Evan Mobley, that kind of plays itself out, and then you really don't have to worry about that. But of course, if the Rockets get the number one pick, they're going to be looking for Cade Cunningham. That's pretty much everybody's consensus number one pick. So definitely keep that in mind. Another thing, you know, as we wrap up this first segment, that's kind of interesting was Coach Silas was mentioning that they have so many new players, 30 to be exact. And on the last podcast, they had a game going where they were trying to see how many they could actually come up with within a minute time of the 30 players. And the fact that they had that many players in one season kind of tells you how this season went and how, you know, much that Coach Silas had to go through. But he pretty much said that he had to watch some YouTube clips just to find out how some of the players played that came into the Rockets organization, specifically at the end of the year, when you have people like Thomas, Kyrie Thomas that was coming in, Daquan Jeffries. The list just goes on and on and on. The number of players that basically they signed up off the street that they brought in to play because they just didn't have enough players. So, and I don't think he was joking because, you know, during the season, you barely have any practice time as it is. And then you bring in new players that haven't played with your team all year. I mean, he probably seriously was just sitting there watching YouTube in between practices, trying to get a sense of who that player was that he's going to be sticking in his lineup playing 30 minutes a game. Just that same night. So that was just something definitely interesting that for anybody that was wondering or saying, well, you know, Silas did a horrible job this year. Just think about that statement. He had to watch YouTube to get a sense of who he was playing that night as a head coach because they had so many different starting lineups. If I'm not mistaken, they had 40 plus starting lineups. So anybody that thinks that, you know, he shouldn't be back next year or he did a horrible job, I mean, you have to be patient. When you've had that many starting lineups, that many new players, there's no way you can build continuity. There's no way you can get a team where you can actually run the plays you want to run. And you saw towards the end of the year, the Rockets actually played some of their best basketball of the year. They didn't win a lot of games, but they stayed close in pretty much all those games against really good teams and teams that were trying to win. So I think it's encouraging going into offseason. And, you know, again, it all comes down to the draft. You know, if they get the number one pick, the offseason looks totally different. If they lose their pick, I don't want to be on Rockets Twitter that night. But but that'll wrap it up for this first segment. In the second segment, I'll be talking about some of the free agents that are coming up that the Rockets could possibly be looking at if they do have that cap space or if they increase that cap space by trading Eric Gordon. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And we are back on the Launchpad podcast presented by Apollo Media. And in the second segment, we're going to actually go over some of the free agents the Rockets could possibly be looking at this coming offseason. Around the, you know, time of this recording, Rockets have around $16-17 million in cap space before we start talking about re-signing anybody, bringing anybody else in. But let's say they just stick with their current roster minus Kelly Olynyk, and let's say he signs with another team. If they're able to trade Eric Gordon, then you're talking about an additional $17-18 million, somewhere in that range of money that you'd be adding to your cap space. And you're talking about close to $30 million in cap space for Rockets to have going into the offseason, going to free agency. There are several players that are coming up, but it's kind of a weak free agency class. You have players at the top, of course, like Kawhi Leonard, who has a player option. Nobody knows for sure what he's going to do with that player option. I mean, let's say the Clippers flame out in the first or second round. There's a possibility that he could move on, but I don't think the Rockets are in a spot where a player like Kawhi Leonard would probably consider going with them right out of free agency. So, I mean, he probably wouldn't be an option. You have players like Chris Paul, who also has a player option, which I don't think in any circumstances he passes on that player option. as great as Chris Paul is, I don't see him passing on $40+ million a year at his age and getting that money from someone else. So he'll probably stick with the team he's currently with. Now, the next one that's probably, when you're looking at the free agent big board, that teams are going to be going after hard is a player like John Collins. There was a little bit of interest around trade deadline from several teams about John Collins. The Hawks decided not to trade him because they actually started winning around that time when they brought in Nate McMillan. When they fired Lori Pierce and brought in Nate McMillan, they started to win. So they decided to stick with the team, and now they're in the playoffs. But John Collins had actually turned down a contract extension with the Hawks in the offseason. And there's a chance that he's probably going to be getting max money this current once the free agency period starts after the season. So he is a restricted free agent, but it's a lot of questions around whether, if he does get that max contract from another team, will the Hawks even match that? And of course, this also goes to, well, if the Rockets don't get Cade Cunningham and they get Evan Mobley, then you probably won't need a John Collins. But if they do get a Cade Cunningham, or if they get the third or fourth pick and they go with a guard, then John Collins is somebody you can definitely look at. His numbers were a little bit down this year just because Clint Capella didn't play last year, but he played this year, and he suppressed some of John Collins' numbers, but he still had a really good season. He still shot close to 40% from three, still scored over 17 points a game, seven rebounds, and around 30 minutes a game. And for his career, he's actually a 20-10 guy if you look at per 75 possessions. So John Collins, he's still young. He fits within the timeline, which, you know, Rockets Twitter can see my air quotes here. Excuse me. But he fits within the timeline. He fits within the timeline of where the Rockets kind of want to be in a few years, because he's within that 22-23-25-year-old range where the Rockets are kind of with majority of their players. So he would definitely be a player the Rockets could definitely look at. He'll be able to play the four out of five. Him and Christian Wood be interchangeable. And like I said, he'd probably be looking for a max contract. So if you do go after him, that's pretty much all your cap space. But he's a young player that fits perfectly next to Christian Wood. He's actually a better defensive player than Christian Wood. He's one of the best defensive bigs in the league if you look at the advanced numbers. So he'll definitely be somebody that the Rockets could possibly go after this offseason. Another guy, which kind of goes into the same mold of kind of depends on what happens in the draft, is Lonzo Ball. He has increased his three-point percentage every year he's been in the league. When he first came in the league, that was actually a running joke about the way he, you know, his three-point percentage, his shot was awkward. He wasn't able to hit from beyond the arc and teams left him open. But not anymore. His three-point percentage has definitely increased this year. He's still one of the best defensive guards in the NBA. He's one of the best facilitators in the NBA. And if you don't get a Cade Cunningham, you do get an Evan Mobley. Lonzo Ball is somebody that you could definitely look for, because he is a restricted free agent, but it's the same situation as Collins with the Hawks is. Will New Orleans be looking to match a max contract offer for Lonzo Ball? And I don't honestly think they will, because I think that they're still going to want to put their money somewhere else to match players alongside Ingram if they resign Ingram and Zion Williamson. So I don't think it's a case of you'll be competing with the Pelicans, because I don't think they'll actually even consider matching his a contract if someone was to offer him a max contract. But he'll be another guy that, again, fits within the Rockets timeline, a young player that's still developing, that will instantly give you a player that can fill your point guard spot for the next 5 or 6 years. And again, you will run into the problem with John Wall and Lonzo Ball, and then, of course, Kevin Porter Jr. But at that point, sometimes you just have to take that chance and maybe just run a line of three-guard lineups throughout the game. So he's definitely another guard that, or another player that Rice could be looking at within this, you know, free agency period coming up. Another thing about Lonzo Ball is he's not a player that needs the ball in his hand all the time. So that will free up players like Kevin Porter Jr. to be able to control more of the scoring, which I think that's more of where he's probably going to end up being, more of a shooting guard than instead of more of a point guard. Because even if Cade Cunningham's come here, I think Cunningham's going to be your point guard in the future, and Kevin Porter Jr. is going to be your shooting guard. I just think that's kind of the way it's going to play out. And it'll be the same way if they brought in like Alonzo Ball or someone like that. Now, if you look at the rest of the free agency, not really players that fit what the Rockets are trying to do right now. Yeah, players like Kyle Lowry, who's going to be going to more of a contending team. Same thing with a Mike Conley if he leaves Utah. Tim Hardaway Jr. is kind of an interesting name. But again, I don't think you really want to be taking away minutes from players like KJ Martin Jr. or players like I was speaking, Kevin Porter Jr., because Tim Hardaway Jr. is more of a shooting guard. So I don't think he really fits what the Rockets would want to bring in. You also have players like Lauri Markkanen, but he's a restricted free agent. And I just don't think that he's the type of player that will fit well beside Christian Wood, because then you'll have two players that really aren't switching bigs, and your front court defense would would definitely be lacking when it comes if you have a Wood and Markkanen in front court. So I don't think he's a player that would really fit into what the Rockets are trying to do. I mean, you have Duncan Robinson is another player, but again, he's restricted, and I think that I don't think he's going to get a big enough contract where the Miami Heat are not going to match it. So I don't think he's really an option. And then if you actually go by the list that's on Bleacher Report, their number 12 guy is actually Kelly Olynyk. Now, of course, Kelly Olynyk is really interesting because he had his best stretch of his career was with the Rockets. He averaged actually 19 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and he played 31-plus minutes a game. And if I'm not mistaken, he may have only missed one game as a Rock. He may not, or he may have actually played every game with the Rockets. But it's interesting because if you look at it, he's making around $10 million a year right now. He may command more in the open market just because if you look at the free agents that are ranked in front of him, there really aren't that many big men. Like I said, there's John Collins, and that's basically it. Kelly Olynyk is probably the next best big man that's on the board. So I think he's going to have suitors that are going to be going after him. And I just don't think that the Rockets are going to be willing to pay Kelly Olynyk $14, $16 million a year. Now, if this was the Rockets team from 2 years ago or even last year, then they absolutely will re-sign Kelly Olynyk because they had his bird rights and they will be able to sign him over the cap space. But being that the Rockets are still in a not rebuilding, reloading phase, I don't think that they'll be willing to give a 30-year-old Kelly Olynyk $14, $16 million a year for possibly coming off the bench next year, especially if they get Evan Mobley. Now, again, if they get Evan Mobley or if they get that number two pick, then I don't think there's any chance they bring back Kelly Olynyk because they'll be going after Evan Mobley. If they get the number one pick, possibly they can look at it. If he's willing to come back for around the same amount he's making now, then I absolutely will resign him. But when you start getting into 14, 16, you know, it may sound crazy, but $18 million range, I don't think that you would want to try to bring back a Kelly Olynyk at 30 years old. That's really more of a player that needs to be on a team that's going to be contending in the next year or so. So I don't know if he's really an option, but of course you never really know how the, you know, offseason is going to play off with trades and teams open up cap space that didn't have before, or, you know, whatever the case is. So it's no guarantee that he won't be back, but I think right now it's leaning more towards he'd probably sign with another team. But as you look at the rest of the free agent list, and you have players like Norman Powell, again, another player that really doesn't fit what the Rockets are trying to do right now. And then when you start really going down further down the list, there's not really a lot of options that you're looking at, like, okay, the Rockets need to sign these players. You're starting to look at a Dennis Schroeder and Kelly Oubre, who, just my personal opinion, I don't think Kelly Oubre is that great of a player. He's a decent offensive player. His defense leaves something to be desired. He's more of a kind of in-between average player that somebody you'll bring in if you're trying to make a push for the playoffs and possibly like a sixth man or somebody to come off the bench and give you some scoring. But I don't think you purposely go out in free agency and try to spend big money bringing in a Kelly Oubre. So, I mean, that's kind of the list that's out there right now. Of course, you will have trades as possibilities. Maybe the Rockets trade those late two first-round picks for a player. I mean, we really don't know yet until we know who they have in that first in the lottery coming up. We really won't know the direction the Rockets are going to go in. So, again, 1 month from now, June 22nd, is kind of where everything starts to kind of open up and you start to kind of see the picture unfold in front of you exactly what the Rockets are going to want to do. So, again, it'll be an interesting offseason. hopefully not as much player movement as it was the last year. But again, we'll just have to wait and see. And it all starts with the lottery. So that's going to do it for the second segment. In the final segment, we're going to kind of talk about some of the more interesting topics that's on Rocket Twitter right now. For instance, there's been a lot of chatter on whether you should even consider putting Christian Wood up for a trade this offseason, or even, you know, field calls for trades coming in asking about Christian Wood. There's kind of been a lot of back and forth about that. So that's one of the things we're going to talk about in the last segment. So please stick around.
Looking for a better way to rep H-Town? Be sure to check out ApolloHOU.com for Astros and Rockets apparel you can't find anywhere else. Use promo code LAUNCH for 10% off at checkout. Apollo HOU, all Houston, all original.
And we are back for the last segment of the Launchpad podcast presented by Apollo Media. If you enjoyed the show, do us a favor and drop a review or leave us some stars. All right, for this last segment, we're going to actually talk about some of the topics that have been floating around Rockets Twitter. Let's start with one in particular. That would be whether Christian Wood should be involved in any trade talks this offseason. We have some people who are saying, well, Christian Wood is 25. He doesn't really fit the Rockets timeline. And if you don't get a certain player A or player B in the draft, then you should definitely consider packaging Christian Wood to get one of those top four picks. And then you have some people like myself who said, there's no way you trade a guy that's giving you 20 and 10 on a very team-friendly contract just to possibly move up in the draft. And like I said, the way I look at it is, Christian Wood is 25 years old. He almost gave you 20 and 10 this year. He's improved in the last 2 or 3 years in the league every single year. He's a guy that, like I say, he's only 25 years old. I know a lot of people want the entire Rockets team to be 19, 20 years old, but that's just not the way the NBA works. I mean, it can work that way, but you won't win many games. The only way you can win games in the NBA is you have to have a mixture of young guys, but you also have to have veteran players on your team. Players like a DJ Augustine or a Kelly Olynyk, players that can help you guide some of those young players, because there's not too many young teams that I know of, and I've been watching basketball for a long time, that are able to win at a high level consistently with a bunch of young players. I mean, you look at the last few championship teams, you look at Toronto team from a couple years ago, they won with Kawhi Leonard and they won with Kyle Lowry. You look at the Lakers last year, LeBron James and Anthony Davis have been in the league for several years now. I mean, you can go back to the Spurs team. They you know, have veteran players on their team. Even the Warriors, even though their players weren't in their, you know, 30s at the time, they still have been in the league for several years, like a Draymond Green, like a Andre Iguodala. Steph Curry had been in the league for several years. Their first few championships, Andrew Bogut, players like that that have been in the league that can show the younger players how to play. So I don't think that you can base a trade off trading Christian Wood off of, well, he's 25, he's already kind of past the Rockets timeline. Really, most players don't hit their prime until they're close to 27, 28 years old. So if in 3 years the Rockets still aren't good enough to be contending, then there's definitely something went horribly wrong in between now and then, because by then the Rockets should be contending for championships by the time Christian Wood is hitting his prime. So I don't see any scenario, unless you can get some top flight player, that you would think about trading Christian Wood, because it's not just about getting back a better player. It's about getting back a better player who's also on a team friendly contract like Christian Wood is right now. And I know his contract's up in a couple years, but if you're winning, I think that all works itself out. I think you'll be able to re-sign Christian Wood to a good contract. It may be a max contract. If he's playing that well at that point, then I don't think you have a problem paying Christian Wood max money. But I don't think after 1 year you start considering trading away a guy that's giving you 20 and 10, making $14, $15 million a year, that's 25 years old. You're not going to get equal value back. You're not going to get teams that are going to be in the top of the lottery saying, okay, yes, give me a 25-year-old Christian Wood and I'll give you a top three pick. That's just not going to happen. Or a team that's, you know, pretty good, that's a contender, then guess what? They're not giving you back a player that's equal to Christian Wood. So you're kind of in the middle where it makes really doesn't make sense to try to trade a Christian Wood, because you're not going to get equal value back for him. And the player that you would like to get back for him, there's no way a contending team is going to give you that player. So you need to be able to develop your team. And the only way you can develop your team is you have to be able to develop continuity, which you can't do if you keep trading players every day, or every year. And I kind of mentioned that on Twitter, where I said that it's kind of like the Daryl Morey-itis, where you just have to make trades. You have to shake up the team. And I understand why he did it at the time, because the Rockets were contending for championships. They weren't contending just to rebuild and get into the playoffs. But the Rockets aren't at that point now. So you don't need to constantly be trading away your core players to try to get a player that may be a little bit better than him. Because as we see, that doesn't always work out that way. These trades aren't like the NBA 2K, where you can just, you know, click on a certain player and then keep adding players on there, and then eventually you'll get the players, and then you can fast forward 3 or 4 years. I mean, this is a process. Now, not to steal a term from Daryl Morey's new team, this is a process that you have to work through, and you do that by bringing in players like a Christian Wood, who's on probably one of the best contracts in the NBA, by basically stealing Kevin Porter Jr. from the Cleveland Cavaliers for a second-round pick that they will never convey to them, by bringing in a K.J. Martin Jr. With a 52nd pick, who was pretty much an afterthought, by bringing in Jayshon Tate, who nobody wanted, that everybody passed up twice in 2018 when he was in a draft, and then passed up again last year. And then finally the Rockets were to bring him in, and now he should be first-team, all-team rookie NBA. But we will have to wait and see how that plays out, because there's been some voters, actual voters on Twitter, that actually not had him first team. He didn't make the top three finalists as far as rookie of the year. So we have to see how that plays out. But he should be first team all rookie NBA. And then, like I said, you have KJ Martin, who should be second team all rookie NBA. So you have young players, then you have players that are about to hit their prime, and then you have veteran players. You have to have three tiers to be a championship team. Now, you may can get away with not having young players and be a championship team, but there's no way you can get away with not having veteran players and players just entering their prime. You got to have that mixture of players to be able to be a contending team. And Christian Wood fits into the players that are entering their prime. So there's no way, in my opinion, that you would think about trading away Christian Wood. Another thing that's been floating around Rockets Twitter is, what do you do with John Wall? But as I mentioned earlier, if you get Cade Cunningham, you're going to have to run a three-guard lineup. And that's not even factoring in that you still have DJ Augustin, who's actually on a multi-year contract that you're going to have going into next year, who's actually, when he came here, he was one of the better players on the Rockets team before he got hurt. So you actually have to factor in. So you're actually talking about four guards that you have to find minutes for. Some people were saying that, well, maybe you should trade him and add on some picks so you can move on from him and give those minutes to other guys. And then other people have been saying, well, you're a young team trying to rebuild. You don't want to give up draft capital just to move on from a player and not really get anything in return other than playing time and some cap relief. The way I look at it, I'm more in the mode of, I don't want to give up draft picks just to get rid of John Wall. Yes, John Wall makes $40 million a year, and yes, at times John Wall struggled. But the way I look at it, John Wall can still bring value to the team. Another thing they were talking about in the press conference was that you have to have veteran players on your team that show the young players how to play. They mentioned, for instance, Eric Gordon in his shooting. Eric Gordon knows how to shoot. He knows a proper form. He knows how you have to go out and practice it every day, and he can show the younger guys that. And it's similar to John Wall. Now, whether John Wall is going to take a step back and let players like a Cade Cunningham and Kevin Porter Jr. take over, I mean, I guess you have to wait and see. But at least as far as how he plays on the court, how he carries himself in practice, all that stuff is valuable to young guys. And I think you still ride this season out with John Wall, and you just find a way to run that three-guard line as much as you can and get those players as many minutes as you can, because I don't see you giving away one draft pick, let alone two draft picks, just to move on from John Wall's contract. And then you're kind of already taken away from your future assets that you had to build up in the first place, because guess what? You traded away your franchise player who didn't want to be here. So I don't think there's any circumstance Rockets adding one of those draft picks just to move on from John Wall. Because honestly, I think it would take two first round draft picks for a team to take John Wall this year. That's why I say you would have to probably wait till next year when he's on an expiring deal. And then it'll be a lot more likely that a team will be willing to take on John Wall's, at the time, $47 million a year contract. Yes, $47 million a year in his final year of his deal. So that's definitely something to keep in mind when it comes to that, trading away a John Wall. Another thing that's kind of been floating around Rockets Twitter is, what do you possibly bring back at Eric Gordon, or do you just decide just to move on? And now most people have been saying that you move on. There've been a couple of people who say, well, you could still bring him back because he actually had a decent year and maybe do trade him around a trade deadline. The way I look at it is, with Eric Gordon's injury history, I don't really want to take the chance that that A, maybe he doesn't play as good as he did last year, or B, he gets hurt like he did right before the trade deadline this year. Because if he didn't get hurt, I don't think there's any chance that Eric Gordon is probably still on the roster. They probably would have traded him away to a contender just like they did PJ Tucker, and, you know, get some valuable assets in return for him. So I think you try to do it now. He's probably fully healthy now. He probably could have came back earlier, but there's really no point when you're, you know, a rebuilding team. And at that point, you're trying to give the younger players more playing time. So I think you try to do it now in the offseason while he's healthy and see what you can get back for him. And if you can't get anything valuable back for him, at least you can get back cap space, which actually in this situation may actually be more valuable than actually getting a player back in an Eric Gordon trade. So if you're able to, like I've been mentioning all throughout this podcast, you're able to move on from Eric Gordon's contract, then you're close to a max slot contract. Doesn't mean you have to get a max slot player this year, but it doesn't hurt to have money under the cap, because during a year, there's always a team that struggled that thought they were going to do better, and they may have a max guy on their team like a Zach LaVine or a player like that. And guess what? You have the space. You can fit that guy in without having to give up a bunch of assets on your team. So in my opinion, you trade Eric Gordon now. And not only does it help the Rockets, but it helps Eric Gordon. He's getting old, you know, he's getting older, like we all are, but he's getting older in, you know, NBA years as well. And, you know, at this point, I think he wants to play for a contending team. And you can do yourself a favor and do him a favor by moving on from Eric Gordon. And it may be a case where you still get back a player that's in on an expiring contract, but at least you're getting back the expiring contract that you can maybe then flip later on in the year. Because expiring contracts are always valuable, because Eric Gordon still has several years left on his contract. So that expiring contract may be valuable, and maybe you can also get back a draft pick in return. So I think you try to trade Eric Gordon now while you can. And like I said, if you trade Eric Gordon, it opens up a lot of avenues for you to move forward in this offseason. So like I've been saying, it's all comes down to June 22nd. That night where we learn whether the Rockets are going to be getting that number one, number two, number three, or number four pick, or if they're falling all the way to the middle of the draft. And if that happens, like I said, I don't think I want to be on Rockets Twitter that night, because it's going to be a crazy night. But since we do the Launchpad podcast presented by Apollo Media, we will probably be doing a live reaction show that night of the draft lottery. Once those draft positions come in, we're going to probably try to get some people together, get some live reactions, some feedback from some of our contributors or maybe some fans. You know, we're still working out the details with that. But another thing to keep in mind coming up, we're going to have draft people on Launchpad Podcast throughout this next month. We may have a really special guest that a lot of y'all know. That's a lot of stuff for the NBA now that's blowing up. I won't mention names yet because I haven't nailed it down yet, but he's a possibility. We'll have him coming on here soon. So definitely keep your eyes out for that. And like, as always, we appreciate everyone jumping, listening to the podcast. We've been on for a year. I've been doing this for about a year, and it's been great. And I definitely appreciate all support. So as we wrap up this Launchpad podcast, this solo podcast, hopefully you're still awake. As we wrap this up, make sure if you aren't already doing so, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. And be sure to follow Apollo HOU. That's Apollo HOU is actually all caps for blogs, merch, video, podcasts, and more original Houston sports content not found anywhere else. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back for our next episode of the Launchpad Podcast covering your Houston Rockets.